Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible, you can give us a call tonight. You can call us toll-free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the air with your questions. And also, just a reminder, you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And we'll be able to get you on here. And you can, I'm sorry, get distracted there looking at something up. We're getting a nice lightning display and all different things coming up here. I was just thinking about that as I was heading up the highway here from home this evening. Further south of where we're at in Independence, there was a good bit of rain coming down on the highway and a nice lightning light show going on, the kind where clouds keep lighting up and you just see the interesting silhouettes of some of the clouds and all, and then occasionally a chain of lightning streaking along from cloud to cloud, and really kind of an interesting sort of thing. Check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can find out more about us there. You can connect to our church, the home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor, and you can find out more about that as well. There's also a list of our social media. You can find us on a variety of things: Clout Hub, Facebook, Gab, Getter, MeWe, Minds, Parler. Not so much doing Telegram right now, but we do have a thing on there: Twitter, USA.life, YouTube, and Zapit, XAPIT. And so we've been experimenting with different platforms there, and it seems like the ones that are working the best have been MeWe and USA.life, and Minds and Getter have been coming along pretty good as well, and as has Gab, so that's probably some of the good ones there. But many of these have a nice free thing. You can get on. You got freedom on there. You don't have to worry about getting Farcebook banned and checked and everything. Just some of the nonsense that goes on there. So if you're looking for alternatives, you can check out the list of some of the ones that we're on. Just go to livewithpastoral.com. All right, well, let's open our program this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We just pray you bless, use the program for your glory this evening, Lord. And as we come on the air, our heart goes out certainly for those that are in Afghanistan, those that are trying to get out of Afghanistan. We just pray your hand of protection upon believers, especially that are over there, that are under direct threat. Many of them have been killed in the last few weeks, and many of them no doubt are expecting that to happen to them soon. We just pray your hand of protection, watch care over them, give them grace in time of need, Lord. And Father, we do thank you for those that are helping get people out of Afghanistan. Pray you bless their efforts and keep them safe as well. Father, also for those that are down on the Gulf Coast in Louisiana and area down there with the Hurricane Ida coming in, we just pray that you would be with those that are, some of them cut off and different problems that they're suffering as a result of the hurricane coming ashore. We just pray your hand upon them. And again, pray for the believers that are down that area, that you raise them up and help them to be a witness, help them to be a testimony to others during this time. And Father, we thank you again for these things. Bless you. Use the program for your glory tonight. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, number of things that are happening. We'll get to our callers here in just a moment. Just want to let you know a heads up. I'm hoping to have Alan Jenkins with Nehemiah's Network calling in at some point this evening. It may not be until about 11:30 in the second half of the program, and he is going to be talking about some of the things that you can do in order to excuse me, in order to help with the hurricane relief. They're gearing up efforts even now. In fact, that's why he's not on the radio with me right now. I was kind of hoping that he could come on early in the program, but he's in the midst of coordinating some conference calls and things like that. And so he's hoping to be done and to have the ability to call us in the last half of the program tonight, talking about what Nehemiah's Network is doing and what you can do to help out. And by way of advance notice on that, if you go to columbiaroad.org, that's columbiaroad.org, that's for their home church, the Columbia Road Baptist Church in North Olmsted. And then you can go there and follow the links, and you can find out what you can do in order to give and help with disaster relief through Nehemiah's Network. And of course, Alan Jenkins, as I said, should be on with us here in hopefully the second half of the program to be able to tell more information about what's going on and things that you can look for there. Also, I want to just mention the protests that have been going on in Akron, for instance, at Akron City Hospital, SUMA Health System, SUMA Healthcare System. They've had a number of protests going on the last couple of weeks and protesting the mandatory vaccines. And there've been a number of people out there each Friday, the last couple of Fridays, and they have another one scheduled for this coming Friday. And you can find out more about that if you go to FreeOhioNow.com. That's FreeOhioNow.com. And they were also down in Columbus this past week on Tuesday. They and some other people were down in Columbus. They were protesting outside of the Ohio State House in favor, out rally in favor of House Bill 248. And this is the bill that essentially prevents businesses and schools and things like that in Ohio from mandating a vaccine as a condition of work. And so you can find out more about House Bill 248 if you go online. Just type in ohiohouse.gov. That's ohiohouse.gov. And when you do that, there's a link that says on the menu that says legislation. And you just click on that, search legislation, and I'm doing it right here as I speak. You just type in the box that comes down, HB 248, hit enter, and or hit the little search thing there. And let's see, if I'm in the box, it comes up. Let me do this again. And you hit the search button there, and up pops HB number 248. Enact Vaccine Choice and Anti-Discrimination Act. And then you can simply click on that, and that will take you to a page that gives you information about what's happening with it. You'll see a summary. You see a status of it. You can see the votes that have taken place. You can see information on the committee that it's in. You can see Representative Jennifer Gross, who is the author of the bill, the primary sponsor. You can see other sponsors of the bill, co-sponsors there, and you can click on some of the things with the committee, and you can read proponent and opponent testimonies that have been entered into the record, and it also is a good way to follow, and we're hoping that it'll clear the committee, go to a floor vote, and then it'll go to the Senate. And after it goes through the Senate committee hearings and then is cleared for a floor vote in the Senate, then hopefully on to the governor's office, and well, we'll see what happens. So keep praying for House Bill 248, the bill that'll help prevent the mandatory vaccines in Ohio, the Enact Vaccine Choice and Anti-Discrimination Act. All right. Another thing I wanted to mention as well, I believe that Free Ohio Now has a event coming up at Metro Health, I want to say on Saturday. And so again, you'll just to keep track on FreeOhioNow.com. That's FreeOhioNow.com. Let's see, I had an advance notice of the one on Metro Health. and it is going to be Saturday, September 4th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. The one coming up this Friday at Summa Health in Akron is going to be, of course, Friday at 6 p.m. To 7:30 p.m., I believe it is, just like it's been the last couple of weeks. But this is Metro Health in Cleveland, Saturday, September 4th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., and they'll have information about where you can park, where the protest will be. And this is the kind of thing that needs to be done. This encourages legislators, and some of them may be waffling. Some of them may have their finger in the air waiting to see which way the wind blows. And when they see people out at these protests, and when they hear that the people who are out there protesting against these mandatory vaccines and masks and things like that, when they hear that they're being supported by people driving by honking their horns, which, by the way, if you don't have time or feel that you can be out on the street with a sign, drive by, honk your horn, and show them some support, and certainly pray for them. We had an interesting discussion after church tonight, and we were talking about this, and there's a lot of pastors that won't do or get involved in things like this. They won't encourage their church members to get involved in things like this. I understand if a pastor doesn't have the time or for whatever reason is not able to, but to dissuade your church members from being involved, that's what gets me. And I was talking about how in any kind of a security setting, you want to keep the threat as far away from what you're seeking to protect as possible. And they do like zones of security. So you want to deal with something before it gets at your front door. And I guess a good way of looking at this is if you want to protect the people inside of your church, whether it's from a physical threat or even from a spiritual threat, you don't want to wait until the threat is inside the doors to your church, whether it's false doctrine or whether it's somebody coming in to do harm, in either case, physical harm or spiritual harm. What you want to do is you want to stop it before it gets to the church doors. You want to stop it before it gets to the church parking lot. You want to stop it before it gets to the church property. You want to stop it as far away as possible. And it's easier to stop things further away. For instance, the vaccine mandates and the mask mandates. It's better to stop it when it's being instituted in government offices and schools and grocery stores and gas stations than to wait for it to be instituted on your church. And so one of the things that we do when we go out and get involved in these things is we're helping to stop the threat before it gets to our church. We do the same thing spiritually. We want to, I would hope that pastors want to equip the people in their church with knowledge and information and an understanding of the Word of God so that they can stop people from succumbing to false doctrine. When the Jehovah's Witnesses knock on their door, you want to stop them from entertaining and listening and possibly even being deceived by false doctrine before it gets into their house, because if it gets into their house, then they're going to bring it to your house, meaning the church house. And we know Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 13, he said, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Waxing means to grow. To wax worse and worse means grow worse and worse. Deceiving and being deceived. And we live in, as he said actually earlier in the same chapter, verse 1, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." And so this warning against false teachers, this warning against evil men. and bringing in false teaching, false doctrine. Paul warned the churches in the book of Acts that even of their own selves, people would arise preaching false doctrines. And so we want to equip people to stop it before it gets into their house and they bring it to the church house. That's defending the sanctity of the church in terms of the spiritual sense by equipping your people and training them so that they can resist false doctrine at work and amongst family and friends and people who knock on their door. And of course, let me go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3 here again. He said, verse 14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." And then he goes on to say about how all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction, or for correction, for instruction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And then over in Titus chapter 2, verse 3, verse 1, he says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Again, teaching sound doctrine, because it's come a time when people would not listen to sound doctrine. Back to 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says in verse 2, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." And we know Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And here's the problem. We've got people out there who profess to be born-again Christians, some recent polls showing that numbers of them don't believe that Jesus is the only way. And so how do we fight against that? We defend our church. We defend the doctrine. And we teach our people and we equip them. And we get them out there so that they can stand as a trip line, as an outer ring of security. And as they encounter these false doctrines, hopefully they will understand the scriptures themselves and be able to give an answer for the hope that's in them and defend and hold up good doctrine and resist the gainsayers and resist those that would distort the word of God. And rather than wait until it gets a hold inside of the church house. And I look at the same thing with some of these other things in the world. We want our freedom to be able to conduct our church's business the way that we believe God would have us to do that. We want our freedom to be able to assemble and worship God. Why wait until the government clamps down on us and then react? That's the attitude of some. And then, of course, some of them would say, "Well, we got to submit. We got to submit." Just got an article put together for our church newsletter. I'm going to be publishing it hopefully here in the next day or two on our website and on our social media, praying for ungodly leaders. And I touched on this a little bit, a question that was sent to me, touched on this a little bit on this last Friday. We were talking about it at church, and so I put together an article on this. And we understand that our obedience to ungodly leaders, well, yes, we should pray for them, but we obey them insofar as they're not contrary to the word of God. And that's an understanding of the flow of authority as well. Getting off into a number of things, I do want to get to our callers here. I apologize to our callers. Just a number of things I wanted to mention here tonight. Continue to pray for those that are in Afghanistan. And we're going to get to our first caller here in just a moment. But do be encouraged. I am not at liberty to go into the details, but there are things taking place. There was something that was open source material online about Operation Pineapple Express, where a lieutenant colonel went in and they orchestrated the evacuation of some 300 or so people from Afghanistan just recently. There are other things. Glenn Beck, you might have seen that. Him and some people he was working with got about 1,000 or so people out. I know of some other people that have been working behind the scenes. And what we're talking about here are veterans, U.S. military veterans, and not just United States, but other countries. And they are working together doing what President Biden said can't be done. That's rescuing people from Afghanistan. They're doing what the Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, said can't be done. That's getting people out of Afghanistan. They're doing what the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Milley, said can't be done. They're getting people out of Afghanistan. People in Afghanistan, despite the Biden administration's nonsensical statement that, well, they don't want to leave. There's Americans there that just don't want to leave. They choose to stay. I'm not going to say there might not be one or two there, but they're basically, they were saying if they didn't get out before the Taliban cracked down, they really didn't want to leave. That's nonsense. And yet, thankfully, there are people who are former military and government contractors who are working behind the scenes, and people from other countries helping out who are getting people out of Afghanistan. Pray for their safety and pray for their well-being, and that God would further and bless their efforts. There are people who died. You might have heard the audio of the church where last Sunday, a week ago, where the Taliban came in, and you could hear the gunfire and the people screaming on the audio where somebody was talking on the phone to somebody when the Taliban came in and slaughtered the people in the church. They are targeting and killing Christians in Afghanistan even as we speak, and we need to pray for them. Well, again, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we're going to get our first phone call here tonight. Mary Grace, I believe, is calling in with a prayer request. Mary Grace, welcome to the program.
Yes. God bless you.
Hi, good evening.
Oh, I love you. I'm just asking prayer because we have a petition going through to stop murdering the babies,
mm-hmm.
and I already called Marcy Chapter, and I asked her to please, I said, stop murdering these babies.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to stop. There's 313 votes, and they're all Republican. But I'm praying for Democrats and Republicans alike. I don't care. They need 218 to get it passed.
And do you know the name
of
the bill?
Not for more. It's a petition.
Oh, a petition.
It's a petition, and they already got the signatures. And mm-hmm. the point is to stop murdering the babies that are born alive when they go through an abortion
mm-hmm.
procedure. And it's got to stop. They can't do this.
Absolutely. And there's no way you can call that abortion. It's all it is. It's infanticide. It's murdering
right.
children.
Oh God. And so. They even changed it now. It's not genocide. It's called democide because it's political.
Yeah.
This is just going to stop.
Well, I'm reminded a few years ago, and not too many years ago, when the New York State Legislature passed legislation allowing for abortion up to and right up to the moment of delivery, and the people in the state house got up and cheered like they just won the high school football championship. What a travesty. What a travesty. And then, of course, the governor of Virginia, remember? Who yes. said once the child is born, the parents and the doctor need to decide whether or not to keep it.
Oh, dear Jesus.
You know, these people have a lot to answer for. The blood of the innocents is on their hands. So, yeah, amen. pray for our country, and I appreciate that, Mary Grace.
I do. I pray for our country every day, and I'm as busy as I can be, but I'm constant prayer, especially for all those people in Afghanistan. Oh Lord, they're hurting people all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
You understand, Christians,
yes.
and it's appalling to me.
Well,
and I know it's to our Lord God.
Well, and you know, when we see these things happening, I mean, it's kind of been my theme verse, I guess, for one reason or another. I've just kind of gravitated over to where when Jesus was talking about the things that were going to happen during the tribulation, And then he comes back and he says in Luke 21, verse 31, "So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand." And it's a reminder that it's that the Lord's returning soon. And even better is a few verses before that when he says in verse 28, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." And when we see these events happening, you know, you can either be afraid, you can be overwhelmed, or you can do what Jesus said, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh.
God is good.
Amen.
God is very thankful.
Well,
God bless you, Pat.
I appreciate that, Mary Grace. Thank you for calling. And I want to get, let's see, we're going to have a break here in a few minutes, but I believe Alan Jenkins has called in, and so we're going to go ahead and get to him right now. Alan Jenkins, welcome to the program tonight.
How you doing, Brother Al?
I am doing well, and I appreciate you fitting us in tonight. I know that you've been busy, and this situation with the hurricane down in Louisiana, Hurricane Ida, what can you tell us about what's happening and what we can do?
Well, I can tell you that things are really bad there. They've said that this is one of the worst hurricanes that has hit in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, we really won't know until tomorrow some of the extent of the damage and so forth. But we went ahead and decided that after hearing all the reports and everything, that we were going to go ahead and mobilize to get down there and get some help.
Mm-hmm.
to the people there. And so I don't know exactly what city we're going to. I just know we're going to be going, and you know, we're just getting in the mode to get everything ready, you know, get down there when we can.
And I had seen that they hit as a Category 4, I think 150 mile an hour winds, things like that, where it came in. Any word about what's happening now? The size of the storm or the power of the storm?
Well, I know it's down to a Category 2 right now.
Mm-hmm.
The last I heard, and you know, which is I think about 109 or 110, maybe 90 miles an hour.
Well, and if anybody's ever been through a storm like that, my time in the Samoan Islands, my wife and I were through a tropical storm and a mild hurricane. And, you know, mild hurricane was bad enough. And I can just imagine,
amen,
you know, this type of wind and everything. I was going to say about 24 hours ago, it was a Category 2. And then by this morning, it had surged to a Category 4. It just the it's power.
It's such a massive storm.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, it's kind of like slowed down and it's just pummeling rain. I think all of Baton Rouge has lost power,
mm-hmm,
and which is not good because of all the, you know, trying to get the water out of that city.
Oh, the pumps that pull out, because some of those areas are below sea level, aren't they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I saw, too, that the hospitals were stocking up on fuel and everything in order to maintain power generation in the hospitals where they were riding it out. 16 years, I believe, to the day, isn't it, Hurricane Katrina?
To the day.
And you guys were down there after Katrina, too, weren't you?
Yeah, we were working that.
And
I'm just amazed that, you know, I know that my own personal feelings that Katrina was a wake-up call,
mm-hmm,
from the Lord. And I just can't help but wonder if this is not another wake-up call.
Oh, absolutely. When you look at what is going on and the blind eye that this administration is turning not only to Israel, but to the Christians in Afghanistan and different things. I know we got just under a minute before the break comes. Could you give a website or something where people can call or do something if they want to help?
Okay. ColumbiaRoad.org is the website to go to if you want to make a donation.
Mm-hmm.
4488 West 160th, Cleveland, Ohio, 44135.
And I'm going to have to cut in right now because the break's coming. Can you hold for a few minutes?
Sure.
Yeah. All right. We'll be right back. We're talking with Alan Jenkins about Hurricane Ida.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. Our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. And, of course, you can go online, livewithpastoral.com, and you can find out more about us, listen to some past programs there, different things. Also linked to our home church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. Of course, the main sponsor of the program. We're also sponsored by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza located at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call them for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. All right, we're going to get back to our program here. And if you're waiting on hold, please hang on there a little bit. But we've got Alan Jenkins of Nehemiah's Network, and they are getting ready with some disaster relief for the area down in Louisiana after Hurricane Ida clears through there, and they're able to get in. And Alan Jenkins, welcome. Glad you're able to hold over from the last half.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Well, and I know, and if you have to go at any time, because I know you're kind of busy with some things, just let me know.
Okay.
But
sure what.
Yeah, but I did want to, again, as we were going into the break, you were giving some information about how people can contact or make a donation. What kind of things are you looking for?
Oh, we're looking for canned goods, dry goods, toiletry items, cleaning supplies, water, flashlights, batteries, tents, charcoal, and any paper goods. People could use them.
Well, I know one paper good they could probably use is money, huh?
Yeah.
It takes money, because when you get this stuff loaded up, and you have, God blessed you with a great warehouse there on the west side of Cleveland, and just tremendous. I've been there a couple of times, and a real blessing, and you have so much stuff there, but that doesn't magically go from your warehouse in Cleveland down to the site of a disaster relief effort, does it?
No, we have to truck it there.
And that costs money. Fuel, hotel, food, all those things for the people who go down there with it. And
fortunately, the guys that from our church that have volunteered to drive, they're gung-ho at driving straight through and driving straight back. So,
well, and that does save on money, that's for sure.
Yeah, we tell them, you know, we tell them we'll put them up in a motel, but they just want to get down there and get it there and get back.
Mm-hmm. But it still costs money for fuel and for the truck and fuel for the men that are driving it. So,
right.
And certainly I know another thing people can do is pray, because, you know, you're going into an area that suffers a lot of damage. That's why you're going. And
right.
So it can be dangerous, but thank God for the people that he's raised up that are willing to do this. And I know in the past, we were talking in the last half hour about how Hurricane Ida came ashore 16 years to the day of Hurricane Katrina. And I remember back when Katrina came through and you went in, you had the opportunity in some cases to minister the gospel in a tremendous way, didn't you?
Yeah. We always do that. That's one of our main goals.
Mm-hmm.
And we take John and Romans with us, and we pray with the people that have lost things and loved ones and possessions. And, you know, we try to feed them. At the same time, we want to give them the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And let them know that Jesus loves them.
Right. And take advantage of this time when people are questioning and searching and looking for help. To minister the physical needs and spiritual needs simultaneously. It's a great opportunity. We had a question that was sent in about donating food to the church. And what would you say with that? How would people go about doing that? What kind of things?
Well, yeah, they could drop it off at the church, 4116 Columbia Road, North mm-hmm. Olmsted, Ohio. Or they could drop it off at the warehouse, 4488 West 160th in Cleveland.
All right. And they can find all that information at your website?
Yeah.
So, and that's Columbia Road.
Road.
Yeah. And, of course, encourage people to go there. And then, of course, when you're talking about food, probably the best things would be stuff that's canned or packaged or something, right?
Right, yeah. No, not candy, because all that would melt.
Yeah, don't need the truck drivers strung out on sugar high driving down there either. But, yeah, and of course, bottled water, things of that nature that people can bring in, be a real help. And question, talking about food and everything, what about something like baby formula or something like that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, all kinds of diapers, baby formula. Toiletries, you know, conditioner, hair, shampoo, toothpaste,
mm-hmm.
All those kinds of things that you would use at home.
And
people have lost everything.
Mm-hmm. And I know in some of the things that you've been to in the past that you've requested things like shovels and things like that to help with debris removal and things. You still have a need for that?
Well, we don't know yet.
It
depends on what comes in tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I should have more of a idea what's going to be needed tomorrow.
Well, and if people have questions, they can call the church, can't they?
Yeah. Yeah, they can call, or probably the best thing is call me directly.
Okay.
440-781-0209.
And what's that number again?
440-781-0209.
Well, Alan Jenkins, I want to thank you. I mean, you are, again, stepping up to the plate here. And you've been involved not just with hurricanes, but earthquakes, fires, floods, all sorts of things, haven't you?
All kinds of things,
And just for our audience that might not be as familiar with Nehemiah's Network, where are some of the places that you've been, some of the disaster relief efforts that you've had?
Oh, we've been to Texas several times, Louisiana several times. We've been to Detroit, Michigan with the water crisis that they had up in Flint. We've been to Florida a number of times, and West Virginia for the flooding that they had there. And you know, we've also done some work here during COVID, trying to get people some food and so forth.
Well, you got a tremendous ministry going there, and I certainly appreciate what you're doing. And hope that people will pray for you folks, and that they will be willing to donate something or provide some funds available that you can buy things that you need, because there's always going to be things you need to pick up on the way or when you get there, when you can find right? So, again, Alan Jenkins, Nehemiah Network, and I want to thank you for short notice coming on with me. And if you could give that contact information again before we go.
440-781-0209 is my cell number. ColumbiaRoad.org is the website to go to donate. The address of the church is 4116 Columbia Road, North Olmsted, Ohio, 44070. And the warehouse is 4488 West 160th, Cleveland, 44135.
Well, Alan Jenkins, I want to say I appreciate you and the work that you're doing there. Tremendous work, and it's good for Christians to step up and a tremendous opportunity to minister to the gospel while you're ministering to the physical needs of people. And if you find out anything more in the next few days and have further information to let us know, please let me know, and we'll try to get that out.
I will do that. Thank you again.
Thank you so much, and God bless. Appreciate that.
God bless you.
Thank you so much. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, just an update on some hurricane relief efforts that are getting underway for Hurricane Ida in Louisiana. Hit this morning as a Category 4 hurricane, and it's still a Category 2, I guess. And you can go online, ColumbiaRoad.org, that's ColumbiaRoad.org, I believe it is, and you can get some more information there regarding what you can do to help out, what kind of things they need. Funding is always needed, and you can go to all that, ColumbiaRoad.org. And again, my thanks to Alan Jenkins and the folks there working with Nehemiah's Network. All right, well, you are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number, and we are getting down there on the clock, I see, at 888-677-9673. We've got, I believe, let's see here, Nancy has been waiting the longest. So, Nancy, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call. I have a question for you. Did you ever play Stump the Pastor?
Did I ever play Stump the Pastor? Well, I think people have played that, whether I was supposed to be playing or not. I think I have had people call up with Stump the Pastor questions, but...
okay, well, I just made the game up. Now, this is sort of a tentative situation, if you don't mind pretending a couple of conditions.
Okay.
Now pretend that you're a multimillionaire and that you want to make out your will, but you have some inside information that the rapture is coming soon, but your beneficiaries are all saved, and you want to, in case you do get raptured up soon, you want your money to go to an organization or a person or several people who have the potential to get saved. Now, who do you think you would pick for your alternative beneficiaries?
Well, I mean, it would all depend on you know, family and things of that nature that you would have a concern for. And you know, when you think about that. But in terms of organizations, I can't really think of any organizations that I would be thinking of that I would be trusting that after the rapture takes place. Perhaps another way of thinking about it would be, and again, let's just say for the sake of argument that we knew the rapture was going to come a week from Monday. Okay, so that gives us a week. That's why it's Rosh Hashanah, but I picked it so it'd be a week. A week is a tangible short period of time that we can think about. You say, I know I've got a week, what am I going to do? Well, you know, I mean, and again, the problem with this, and this is where we're off in what-if land, you know, the Bible says no man knows the day nor the hour. But if you did know it was going to be a week, in some cases, I would be tempted to convert some of that money into supplies that could be left behind. And if I could, I'd go around and buy a bunch of Bibles and good, you know, King James Bibles and some things like Strong's Concordance, Cruden's Concordance, Knave's Topical Bible, or you know, some Bible reference books and stockpile them so that when the rapture takes place and somebody's looking for stuff, they'll be able to find some of that. But see, again, since we don't know the day nor the hour, that might not be exactly the best thing to do either. I would leave it, I think, maybe to family members. I still think it's a good idea for Christians to have some Bibles, have some good Christian reference books, material stockpiled in your home. I not only have it in my home, but in my car, I have a box that has some Bibles in it. And my wife has some in her car, because if the rapture were to take place and we were away from home, our car's going to be left behind. And where are people going to get good Bibles that are wanting to find out what's going on? So, you know, if you have them in your house, and let's say that you have some food and things on hand, and everybody's gone from your house, eventually somebody's going to get in there, especially if there's a something that happens that brings the economy down, crashing down. Let's say that there was a some form of infrastructure attack or electromagnetic pulse attack that takes out our infrastructure, and everybody is panicking, and there's no trucks going delivering food to the stores. The stores aren't even open, and there's nothing going on. And people start starving, and they're going to be looking in homes that are unoccupied trying to find food. And if they get in there and they find some food and they also find Bibles and things, you might be able to help somebody that way. But in terms of leaving it to family members and all, I would hope that your family members knew that you were a Christian and knew that you believed that this was going to happen. You trusting that the legal system is going to at least operate for a time to be able to read your will, leave it with instructions saying, you are getting this because I'm gone, and this is why I'm gone. So that, that they have to hear.
Put it right in your will, then.
Yeah, you could put it in there so they have to see it.
That's a good idea.
And they have to see that you have left it to them, because other people that would have gotten it are gone as well because the rapture took place. And since they're...
Wonderful idea.
You know, and maybe some variation on that. Of course, that was something just thinking off the top of my head there. Because like I said, the idea that you would know the exact day that's going to take place is pretty far-fetched. It's completely against the Bible, because, you know, God said nobody knows the day nor the hour. We might know the season, and I believe we're in the season, you know, at any rate, I would, if I suspected that it was close, you know, I might want to make arrangements so that hopefully then my unsaved loved ones and friends would look favorably on me for taking the time to not only send them the financial, you know, benefit, but also for trying to let them know what's happening so that they can hopefully avoid some of the worst things that are going to take place during the tribulation period, so that they might be part of the vast multitude that come to Christ during the tribulation. So mm-hmm. that would be my concern.
Oh, that's
and leave them some. Yeah, leave them some Bibles and books as well. So. Uh-huh.
Well, thank you very much. I'm sure you have another caller.
Yeah, I got another caller too. Oh, one more thought too. Maybe even since you're a multimillionaire, get some people to work with you that you can record a nice video or two explaining things that are going on.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And leave them the videos.
You're the multimillionaire, not me.
Yeah, so that's...
But thank you.
All right, I'll try to remember where I misplaced my millions so that I can pay the radio bill. All right, appreciate that, Nancy, and God bless. And there are some things to think about. All right, we've got Terry on the line waiting as well. Terry, welcome to the program tonight.
Good evening, Pastor.
Hi, good evening.
Everybody listening in.
Thank you.
First of all, I was going to ask you, how do you spell Samoan Islands again? I think I've asked you before.
How do you spell what?
Samoan Islands.
Oh, Samoan. Samoan. It's Samoa.
Okay.
Samoa. One of the things I learned when I was there, and you know, I've forgotten more of the Samoan language than I used to know. I used to be able to get by in it. I would never say I was proficient in it. Fortunately, we were a multilingual church, so our services were all in English because we had people that spoke Korean and English. We had people that spoke Samoan and English. We had people that spoke other languages and English. And so English was a common denominator. But I did learn a good bit to get by in. And one of the things I learned is that moa is bird. Usually chickens is what they think of, but the bird in general. And sa is... it can be forbidden, or it can be something that is sanctified in a sense, set apart or restricted. And so Samoa literally means a bird reserve. It was the bird reserve for the gods, but where they could go hunting birds.
And it's in Central South Pacific, right?
Yeah. If you fly to Hawaii, which, you know, a few hours, about 5 hours from L.A., and when you get to Hawaii, you go another, it's 5-6 hours from L.A., I forget what. And then from Hawaii, it's about 5-6 hours down into the South Pacific, heading generally in the direction of New Zealand, I think about two-thirds of the way, and just below the equator. We were 13 degrees below the equator, and we were just a little east of the international date line. And then, of course, a few years ago, they actually relocated the international date line to run between the U.S. territory of American Samoa and the independent country of Samoa. So it's an island chain. It's like West Virginia and Virginia. It was all one at one time or sort of collected together. So when you're standing on the western end of American Samoa, you're looking over at the eastern end of the independent country of Samoa, you're literally looking into tomorrow, or let's see, go over the date line so you go back a day. They're looking into tomorrow, and they look at you. You're looking into the past, something like that. Something like that.
They're independent from New Zealand.
Yes, yeah, they were administered by New Zealand, and so they decided a few years back that since a lot of their economy and things that they do are more closely allied with New Zealand and to a lesser extent Australia, that they wanted to be closer in terms of the day and everything, and so they actually moved the date line and everything over. So let's see, when it's Sunday in Samoa, I believe it's Saturday in American Samoa, or I'm going to get that backwards if I think, I'll have to think about that later on. But it's a different day and an hour's difference, even though you can see each other waving across the international date line there. It's one of the few places in the world where you can actually stand in two parts and look across the date line. One person looks into tomorrow, the other person looks into yesterday. So
seems like a
gets
beautiful
confusing.
Place to live. I'd like to live there.
It is, but it's also very humid, very humid. And but it had its neat things. We had papaya trees that grew. They just grew. You just threw out the papaya seeds, and they would grow on their own right outside behind our door. We ate papayas all the time. Not the little ones, the great big ones, about the size of a small football. And You know, just things like that, breadfruit, bananas, all kinds, coconuts, all kinds of things. And but believe it or not, I got almost in a sense found that the being constantly summer was kind of boring. I like seasons. I really do. I like spring and I like fall the best because I like the change of the seasons. And somebody once said that God gave us here in northeastern Ohio, and I'm sure over in Canada where you're at, very similar. God gave us just enough of each season to get tired of it, so we're ready for the next one. But
I encourage people to pray for our elections here.
Oh, and when are they?
Yeah, coming up soon. Like our elections are not the same as you guys.
Right, right.
The vice president could call an election at any time, eh?
Prime minister. Yeah, and so you've got some coming up. And certainly pray for that. Oh, and also, Terry, if I can find it, somebody gave me a paper. It's a conservative paper. Comes out of Canada called Druthers. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I haven't.
I went off and forgot it tonight, but hopefully I will have it next week. I'll let you know because I know we have people in Canada that listen, and there are some conservative papers that are trying to take a stand and inform people in Canada about what can be done to fight against some of the draconian commands and mandates coming down that are restricting churches and restricting people and their activities. So I will try to remember that next week so that you can maybe pursue that a little bit. But and again, continue to pray. We got about a minute left there, Terry, so we're going to wrap.
I liked everything you talked about at the top of the show. I really enjoyed that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate
that. It's very important for pastors to wake up and quit letting the wolf into the church.
Well, and unfortunately, too many pastors don't take a stand until the wolf has got his head in the door and he's coming in the auditorium. We got to stop them when they're further out. It's easier. By the time they get to the church doors, they've already overcome a lot of opposition and become stronger and better prepared to come after you. But in all things, we got to trust Christ because, you know, we fight against spiritual wickedness in high places. But Terry, we're out of time, and I want to thank all our callers for listening tonight. God bless. Continue to pray for us, and keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Thanks. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com.